Turn for our scripture reading tonight in the inspired word of God to Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. Text for the sermon tonight consists of verses 4 through 11. Verses 4 through 11. Because of the length of that section, we won't reread it. So I ask that you pay special attention to those verses. We're going to read just the first 11 verses of Luke chapter 5. This is the word of God. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake. But the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. We read the word of God that far tonight, and once again the text for the sermon consists of verses 4 through 11. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, here in this passage our Lord Jesus calls Peter and several others to the office of disciple and then apostle in his church. This was not the first call that Jesus had issued to Peter and the others. Earlier in his ministry, Jesus had come to them and called them to follow him. But apparently that was only a temporary following of him, because shortly thereafter, Peter and the others are found back at their normal occupations. Now Jesus comes to them again, and he calls them to follow him. And this call now is the call to full-time discipleship, full-time following after Jesus, and full-time labor in the ministry of the gospel. And in that call of Peter and the others, Jesus indicates the nature of the work in which they will be engaged. What Jesus says to them is that the nature of their work really doesn't change. All of their life they had labored as fishermen on the waters of the Sea of Galilee. And Jesus says, essentially, your work really doesn't change. What changes is the object. Before, your object was the fish in that sea. Still fishermen, but the object changes. The object now are men and women called to catch men. Jesus says to Peter and to the others here, I will make you fishers of men. This word of God is appropriate on this occasion. The occasion of the installation of Reverend Halstead as a fisher of men, as a missionary in the Philippines. There's a difference here. between the call of Reverend Holsteig and the call of Peter. The call of Peter and the others was the first call of them to the ministry, where they hadn't labored full time in that before. That's obviously not true of Reverend Holsteig. He's labored already for a number of years as a pastor in one of our instituted congregations. And yet there is a call that has been issued by Jesus Christ to Reverend Holsteig. Call to him to a new field of labor, to labor in a different part of the sea of men. The call of Reverend Holsteig indicates the nature of his work as well. Though he hasn't labored before as a fisherman, as Peter and the others were prepared by Jesus Christ, nevertheless, all of his previous labor is Christ's preparation of him for this work to which he calls him now. The work to which he's called is to be a fisher of men. Jesus Christ, just as clearly as he spoke to Peter and to the others on that day on the sea, so clearly does he speak to Reverend Holsteig. From henceforth, thou shalt catch men, women, and children in the Philippines. Call your attention to this word of God tonight under the theme, A Fisher of Men. Notice first of all the miraculous catch, secondly the weak means, and then finally the difficult calling. Jesus Christ gives instruction to his disciples about their new calling from him through the miracle that he performs of the catch of many fish on the Sea of Galilee. We read in verse 1 of Luke 5 that Jesus was found by the Sea of Gennesaret. Sea of Gennesaret is another name for the Sea of Galilee. Children, picture in your mind the map that hangs in the catechism room. Picture way up in the top part of that map, the northern part of the land of Judea is the Sea of Galilee. And then snaking down from the Sea of Galilee is the Jordan River, leading down to the bottom part of the map, where is the Dead Sea. Jesus was up toward the top in the northern part by the Sea of Galilee. And in a town on the shores of that sea called Capernaum. Capernaum was at that time the base of operations for Jesus. Just prior to this history, Jesus had returned to his hometown of Nazareth to preach. As Jesus preached, he declared that he's the fulfillment of all of the Old Testament prophecies. He is the promised Messiah. The people of his hometown rejected him, tried to kill him. Jesus was forced to leave there. He went then to Capernaum in order to preach the gospel there and in the surrounding regions. We read in the passage here that on one day Jesus went down to the shore, to the docks by the sea. When Jesus went there, he was followed by a large crowd of people who came to hear him preach. In fact, so large was this crowd that had gathered to hear Jesus that they pressed up against him. And in order to preach to them, Jesus goes into one of the ships that was there. He finds Simon Peter there, and he asks Peter to launch the ship out a little ways into the water so that Jesus can preach there. And Simon obliges. Jesus goes into the ship. Simon takes the ship a little ways from the water. And from that makeshift pulpit, Jesus preaches to the people on the shore, his voice carrying over the waters so that all of the crowd are able to hear him. Jesus is done preaching, the crowd scatters. Jesus doesn't tell Peter to return to shore. Instead, he tells Peter to launch out into the deep and to let down his nets to fish. Peter's response is found in verse 5. He says, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Peter's initial response is one of hesitation and skepticism. What does this carpenter know about fishing that a salty old fisherman like Peter doesn't already know? Peter had been fishing all night long, and an experienced fisherman, he knew the best time to fish on the Sea of Galilee was during the night. And they labored all night long, he and his partners, with all of their skill. Yet they'd taken nothing. They were worn out. They were tired. They'd been up all night. And they spent the morning cleaning out all of their nets and their tackle to prepare it for the next time that they would fish. Peter wanted nothing more to sit down and to rest. Why would he go out onto the sea again? The worst time to fish, get all of his gear, all of his tackle dirty again, and have all of the work the rest of the day to fish, to clean out all of his nets. Peter wonders. Yet, he obeys. Responds in the rest of verse 5, "Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net." Peter obeys, brings the boat out into the deep part of the Sea of Galilee. He throws the nets over into the waters of the sea. And to his surprise, immediately the nets are filled with a multitude of fish, a haul like he's never had before in all of his years of fishing those waters. So much so that the nets were about ready to break. Peter then quickly beckons to his partners, to James and to John and the other ship on the shore, and they come out with their boat to help him. But even between the two of them, the haul is so great that the ships start to sink. They start to take on water because of the weight of this massive catch Jesus Christ has given to them. So great was the catch of fishes that day, so unlike anything else that they had ever seen, that we read in verse 9 that Peter and the others were astonished. They stood in awe of the wonderful miracle which God had performed on the sea. By that miracle, Jesus intended to teach them and to teach us about his miracle of salvation. It's plain from the analogy Jesus makes, the illustration he's using, fishing on the Sea of Galilee, to teach the disciples about a different kind of fishing, the catching of men and women. As he says to them in verse 10, "Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men." And that word "catch" there literally means to catch alive or to rescue from danger. And to catch alive men or to rescue men from danger is to save them. Jesus is speaking here of his spiritual salvation. The sea here is a picture of the depths of sin. Picture of being lost in the wicked world. It's only by being brought up and saved by Jesus Christ that there is deliverance. Now, the analogy doesn't work in every single point. It's not the case that when you haul a fish up out of the depths and you bring it on board the boat and you take it to shore, the fish is alive. It means the death of the fish. Jesus is using this figure, which was so well known to these disciples, so living in their own experience, to teach them about the calling that he was giving to them and his work of salvation. Jesus Christ is the one who alone is able and who does save from sin. Apart from Jesus Christ, we're lost in the depths of the abyss of sin and death without any hope of deliverance. But there is salvation. There is salvation for us. Salvation for us is that we're lifted up out of the depths of the abyss of sin and death. We're given life in Jesus Christ. We're rescued from danger. We're caught alive, made to be alive with the life of Jesus Christ. And this is a miracle, far greater than the miracle of Jesus Christ immediately filling the nets with a multitude of fishes. So much greater is his miracle of saving us from our sins. That's alone the work that Jesus Christ can accomplish. Just as this miracle here can only be explained by the sovereign power of Jesus Christ. Christ was the one who sent the disciples out. He's the one that told them to throw in their nets in that specific place. And Jesus Christ was the one who brought all of the fishes into the net. He who is sovereign over the sea, sovereign over the creation. Here were experienced fishermen. They toiled all night in the ideal fishing conditions and they came up with nothing. That too was by the sovereign decree of God to show that it's only Jesus Christ and by his power that there was this miracle of the catch of fishes. And the same is true of Christ's work of salvation. There's no other explanation apart from the sovereign power of Jesus Christ. He alone is able to deliver us from the depths of sin, to rescue us from danger. And that because he's the one who entered himself into the depths. Who entered into the depths of the torment of hell. Who entered into the depths and the rolling waves of the wrath of God against our sins. The one who bore himself innocent, the holy Son of God. Guilt, your sins and mine. And was victorious at the cross over sin and death and the grave. And who manifested that victory in his resurrection as he came up out of the depths of the abyss. Arose the victor. He alone is able to save. He alone is able to catch us alive, to rescue us from the mortal danger into which we plunged ourselves. Sin and death and the judgment eternally that we deserve. That's the wonder of Jesus Christ, who is the fisher of men. Jesus impresses that upon his disciples. He impresses that upon us. He alone is the true fisher of men. We stand in awe of that tonight. Just as Peter and the others were astonished at the miracle of Jesus Christ, so we stand astonished at the awesome, mysterious, wonderful work of Jesus Christ and the miracle which he performs through his Son Jesus Christ in you and me, catching us alive. We stand in astonishment as we see that work of Jesus Christ in our own midst, in our own congregation, in our own denomination of churches. As we see that work of the fisher of men in our own families and generations as he saves us from the mortal peril of sin and death. We stand in astonishment and awe of that work of Jesus Christ as we see him carrying that out throughout the world. As we see the fisher of men at work in Singapore, Ireland, and in Northern Ireland. As we see and hear of that work in India and in Myanmar. Especially tonight, we give thanks to God as we see evidence of that work of Christ in the Philippines. As we see and we hear the wonderful, astonishing work of Christ catching men, women, children in that land. And as there he manifests himself by the wonder of wonders as the fisher of men. But in that miraculous and astonishing work of Jesus Christ, he's pleased to make use of means without in any way undermining the sovereignty of Jesus Christ in our salvation. Scriptures in this passage make plain that Jesus Christ uses means in that work. And the means which he's pleased to use is the faithful preaching of the gospel by ministers and missionaries of the word. Comes out here in the history. Although the miracle is due entirely to the sovereign power of Christ, it was Peter and the other fishermen who went out in their boats, who cast their nets into the water, who lifted up that haul of fish, brought it into their boats, and finally brought it to shore. Jesus directs his words in verse 10 to these disciples. He says, "Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men." That applies specifically to the disciples as representatives of the church, as ministers of the gospel and missionaries sent to all of the earth. Means which Christ is pleased to use is the promiscuous preaching of the gospel. Preaching of the gospel that goes out throughout all the world. We read of that language in the Canons of Dort in the second head, in Article 5. "Moreover, the promise of the gospel is that whosoever believeth in Christ crucified shall not perish, but have everlasting life. This promise, together with the command to repent and believe, ought to be declared and published to all nations and to all persons promiscuously and without distinction, to whom God, out of his good pleasure, sends the gospel." The promiscuous, the wide preaching of the gospel is the means which Christ uses. Often our churches are charged with the heresy of being hyper-Calvinists. Now, there are such things as hyper-Calvinist, and that error is to think that the preaching of the gospel is only for the elect. It's a false charge. Our churches don't maintain that. We don't believe that the preaching ought to be proclaimed only to the elect. The Canons of Dort make plain the preaching is promiscuous. It goes out wide, just as the fisherman casts his net out over the waters. So also the church proclaims the gospel wide over the sea of the nations of men upon the earth. It's that preaching that Christ has used to catch men and women alive. That preaching that works as the power of God to salvation. So we read in Romans 1 verse 16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." It's through that preaching that Christ is pleased to gather his elect fish out of the nations of the world. As that preaching goes forth, God works through that by his Holy Spirit, works faith in the hearts of his elect to believe that word, to embrace Christ as he's proclaimed in that word. It's through that preaching that God draws his own into the church from out of the world, causes them there to experience the rich blessings of salvation in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is pleased to use those means. Its implications for Reverend Holstegg and for all ministers and missionaries of the word. Implication is, first of all, that this is the work of Reverend Holstegg. His work It's the glorious work of preaching the gospel. Preaching the gospel promiscuously in the Philippines. Often today, the work of missions is thought to be helping to make changes socially or changes politically to help relieve world hunger and poverty. It can be the case, even in our own work, that we become so focused on establishing the structure of the churches, giving advice to consistories, making contacts with other people, we lose sight of the fact that this work is the work of the gospel. Now, all of that work is important. It's essential to the preaching of the gospel. But all of those things serve that one purpose, sending forth of the gospel. And what an honor and a privilege that is. An honor and a privilege that Jesus Christ is pleased to use the means of the church, the means of a missionary, and his faithful preaching of the gospel. Gather his church out of the nations of the world. The other implication that comes out of this is that a minister, a missionary, Reverend Halstead, must give himself to that labor with all that he has. It's true of a fisherman. Fishing that Jesus speaks of here, not the kind of fishing we might do on a weekend where we cast a line lazily into the lake. Fishing was a back-breaking, toilsome work. We read in verse 5 in what Peter says to Jesus, "Master, we have toiled all the night. All night long we labored. We put forth all of the strength and all of the skill that we had into this work." And later, when Jesus performs the miracle, they toil bringing up this great haul of fishes and bringing them to shore again. A back-breaking, toilsome work fishing is. So also, for the fishing of men and the preaching of the gospel, because Jesus Christ is the one who's sovereign over this, we mustn't think that we don't have to labor hard in our work in the ministry of the gospel. We can be lazy, and Jesus Christ will still bless that work. Minister of the gospel, the missionary, must spend himself in that work. It's a difficult labor making two fresh sermons every week that meet the level of understanding and the needs of the people on the mission field. Difficult work giving advice to the churches and the consistories and the individuals in the churches. Giving guidance to the denomination as they deal with weighty decisions and issues. Making contacts with others, developing those contacts. The sorrow that's experienced. We see the contacts dry up, or those that attended for a while leave and forsake the truth. We don't see the kind of positive fruit that we might wish upon the work we perform. Difficult labor that God gives. Calling then, as the means which Christ is pleased to use, is to labor diligently, to toil, to spend yourself in the catching of men. But that is an honor and a privilege. An honor and a privilege to be used by Christ in that work, and yet there's no room for pride in that work, because the means which Christ is pleased to use are weak means. And that comes out here in this passage as well. Christ impresses upon his disciple the weakness of the means which he is pleased to use. It's evident in the first place from the fact that Christ calls fishermen to this work. He calls blue-collar workers to this work. Men who had no high formal education, who didn't sit at the feet of the famous rabbis in Jerusalem, who weren't skilled speakers. They were lowly, ordinary workers, fishermen. Second place, it's evident from the fact that these men, skilled as they might have been in that trade, spent the whole night without one thing to show for their labors. They had toiled all night long and didn't come back with one thing in their nets. By that means also, Jesus impressed upon them the weakness of the means which he is pleased to use. And then in the third place, that's evident from Peter's response, what he says in verse 8, after this miracle has been performed by Jesus, Peter says in verse 8, we read there, he saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." The greatness of this miracle, the astonishing power of Jesus Christ in the catch of fishes impressed upon Peter his own lowliness and sinfulness. Jesus Christ is pleased to use weak means in this work. Jesus Christ ordinarily does not call the high and the mighty of this world to the labor of catching men and women alive. He calls ordinary men with ordinary abilities to the work of the preaching of the gospel. And men who by themselves are not able, even with all of their toil and all of their exertion and all of their abilities, unable to catch one fish in the nets. Unable by all of their hard work to bring one man or woman or child to salvation in Jesus Christ. Men who are themselves sinners. Men who themselves are unqualified for that work. Men who sin against God. Men who sin against God's church. Men who sin in their marriages. Men who sin in their homes with their families. Men who sin in their own individual private life. Yet these are the means Christ is pleased to use, weakest of means. The obvious implication of that is that this word of God ought to humble us, all who are fishers of men, ministers, missionaries. It's a temptation in that work for pride, self-confidence, for self-seeking, to think that this work depends upon me, upon my abilities, upon my diligent labors, for the work to succeed, for church to be gathered, for individuals to be saved. The work rests upon me, it depends upon me. When in reality, it's not at all the case. Christ receives all of the glory here. We don't call ourselves to the ministry of the word to be a missionary. Christ is the one who calls us there. We're not the ones who choose for ourselves the place in the sea of nations where we'll labor. Christ is the one who calls us to that place. We don't bring our own word in the work of the ministry. We bring Christ's word. And we're not able by our work to bring one man to salvation. Christ alone is the one who is able to bring fish into the nets and to save his own out of the nations. Christ receives all of the glory here. And ought to humble all ministers of the word, all missionaries. Humbly we carry out our work before God, before his church. humbly we go forth in dependence entirely upon the fisher of men, Jesus Christ. While that word of God ought to humble us, it also gives confidence and encouragement to the minister and the missionary of God's word. And the comfort is that this work doesn't depend in the end upon us. Though we're called to be faithful and diligent in our labors in spreading the gospel, the work doesn't depend upon us. The salvation of God's people doesn't depend upon us. It relieves a heavy burden that can rest upon a minister or a missionary. Heavy burden of recognizing his own weaknesses and sins, his own unprofitableness, his own inability in the labors that he's engaged in. Fear that he might experience in that work. The discouragement he might have when it doesn't seem to be producing the kind of fruit that he would wish. Or means Christ is pleased to use, and yet this work is Christ's work. Christ is the fisher of men. He's the one that by his sovereign power is able to gather men out of the nations and to save. Knowing that that work is Christ's work and by Christ's power, can be encouraged. Go forth in the confidence of Christ and his blessing in the labors of the spread of the gospel. That's a difficult calling. It's a difficult calling for Peter and the other disciples. Christ has now called them to full-time discipleship and ministry of the gospel. And what that meant for them is found in verse 11. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. This call of Jesus Christ to Peter and to the others was a difficult calling. Calling that they had to follow him now full time. And the calling to follow him meant that they had to leave and to forsake everything. They have to leave behind their boats, their nets, this massive haul of fish that they had just brought in, a steady job and steady income. They have to leave behind family, friends. They have to leave behind a hometown, a place where they had grown up, a place where they were comfortable. And to forsake it all, willingly, readily, immediately, follow Jesus Christ and his call of them to be fishers of men. And they obeyed. They obeyed the call of Jesus Christ. They forsook all and they followed him. And they did so because they counted that a privilege. A privilege to be one of those saved by Jesus Christ, a privilege to be called by him to the work of the gospel ministry, be called by Jesus Christ, the work of catching men alive. Because they counted that a high privilege and honor, forsook all and they followed him. Reverend Halstead, such is the call of Jesus Christ to you. Difficult calling. Calling that he issued to you when he called you to the ministry, but a call that he renews now as he calls you to a new place of labor in the sea of nations. It means following after Jesus Christ. following after Jesus Christ, to be willing to forsake all. It's no easy thing what he calls you and your family to do. It means forsaking and leaving behind all that you know and are familiar with here. It means leaving behind parents, grandparents, siblings, friends, those you love dearly. It means leaving behind a place where you grew up, a hometown, a place where you're comfortable. Leaving behind a relative life of comfort and ease in a first world country to go and to live in a third world country, a country that's very different with very different customs and culture. It's a difficult calling which he lays before you. Follow him. Are you ready? Are you willing, ready to forsake all and to follow him in this new call which he's given to you? Give thanks to God that that is your conviction. Conviction you had when you accepted the call, a conviction you and your family still have, one that was expressed in the letter that you wrote to the Doon congregation. Quoted a passage out of Matthew chapter 10, verses 37 and 38. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. He that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. He that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. It's the passage that you quoted as your own conviction. We rejoice to know that that's your conviction. God gives to you and to your family the grace to forsake all, to follow him to the field in the Philippines. We pray that certainly God will strengthen you in that resolve in the coming months as you prepare to go there, that God will give you boldness and courage to say the difficult goodbyes and to forsake and leave behind what must be left behind and to follow Jesus Christ. As you go forward, do so confident. The work in which you are engaged is the sovereign, miraculous, astonishing work of Jesus Christ, the fisher of men. Be encouraged in the work because of that. Be encouraged, too, by your humble, faithful labors in casting the net and preaching the gospel. Lord Jesus Christ will bless that work. Bless it to the glory of God's name, and bless it to the gathering of his church and at the catching of men alive in the Philippines as a fisher of men. Amen.